seeing her sit in that chain outfit, like in the right after at the beginning of the episode, I was like, Vanity has never looked this gorgeous. She looked so petite and so lovely. And that outfit was what she should have been wearing the whole time. She should never wear orange again. I don't care what Michelle says, because Michelle was like, oh, it looks so good against your skin. That was literally someone in her ear being like, prop up Vanity, prop up Vanity, prop up Vanity.
Yeah.
Because the next episode, she's like, oh, you're wearing orange again. I'm bored. I was like, Michelle, stop telling this poor innocent drag queen that she looks good in a color, because she's going to keep wearing it. And then you're going to and then you're going to not like it like that one time.
I mean, you do make a point.
Unless it's a velvet peach gown.
Oh, my gosh.
Attention. Calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Mijan.
How are you?
Good. Feeling really good.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I just turned 17.
I just want to say that attending your birthday party was one of the most special things that I've done in my whole entire life. It is so rare to see so much love in one room. And it was special. It was lovely. It was...
Thank you.
It was funny.
Thank you so much. I deeply, deeply value my friendships. And thank you for being there and coming out all the way to Jersey City.
Oh my God, literally, like I went all the way to Jersey City. Listeners, please just know that like I went to Jersey City, I rode a bike, I like went to the supermarket. Like it was insane.
A rare feat for a New York person. Your medal from the city is in the mail.
Thank you. But today we have a fantastic guest. We have the sexy Coco Couture. Coco is South London's very own dancing diva. She gives you pop star energy and always serves non-binary finery. Oh my God, it rhymes. I love it.
I love it.
Catch her all across London, kicking, spitting, and dipping. Coco, are you here?
I am indeed. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Welcome.
I'm great.
Hello, how are you? I've been wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet. So how are you doing since Adele has come out with a new album?
I'm not going to lie, I haven't listened to it. I'm sorry, I'm a bad gay, I know. But I've not listened to it. I've heard Easy on Me. I've heard the single. It's great.
I actually haven't listened to it yet either. And I'm a huge Adele fan. So what's wrong with me? What's happening here? I have Adele lyrics, baby. Right here.
Oh, I love that.
Until she releases the single, I don't think we
won't really hear about it, I guess.
It's not necessary, but and you have to listen to Easy on Me, and that's
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the assignment. You don't have to listen to the whole album. She hasn't told us what we should listen to yet.
Right. What's going to be the feature?
That's what happens when you release a single. You tell the people what they should be listening to.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how are you? How's London?
It's great. It's nice and cold and rainy as usual.
Oh my God.
And life's going great. I'm just gigging about, doing what I can.
You're just gigging and gagging and just like all the things?
All of the above.
Okay, well, good. Lovely.
How are things coming back?
I mean, at first it was kind of like, oh yeah, we're easing the restrictions away. And now it just kind of feels like normal life again.
Yeah.
Like, you go on the trains and stuff, and you're supposed to wear masks, but no one really does. Everyone's just kind of reverted back to
kind of over it.
The shame.
Yeah. Oh.
I wear my mask.
Well, yeah.
I'm gonna put a mask on right now.
Yeah, I know the UK had a very high early vaccination rate.
Yeah, I got my vaccine a few months ago. I'm all topped up. Yeah, they got through it quite quickly, I think.
I have to say that, you know, in New York, because the vaccination rate is so high, you know, now we're getting to that point where, like, no one cares. You know what I mean? Like, I was in Jersey. I was at the supermarket. No one really cared about, like, me wearing a mask. I still wore it though. But I think that we've put in the work, so now we get to enjoy the spoils of our labor.
Yeah. As long as vaccinations stay high and infections stay low.
Exactly.
Because it could come back again, especially here, because a lot of people have remained unvaccinated.
Yeah.
Which gives it time to develop and puts us at risk again. So hopefully we don't get there.
But that being said, where did you get your start? How long have you been doing drag? Tell us everything.
So I've been doing drag for about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
I started because my school did their own annual drag show. And I did that each year. And then after, like, around the time of leaving, one of my teachers had, like, a connection for a charity gig. And I went and did it. And then the venue were like, oh, we like you. We'd love you to come back.
Oh, my God.
And then I actually just started working there for about 10 months. And then lockdown hit and I became a bedroom queen.
Yeah.
As everyone did.
And a bedroom queen.
You gotta.
I did a whole lot of online numbers and live streams and... Mm-hmm. All that fun stuff. And then, yeah, it was around like July of this year when we were allowed to actually perform again. I've just been doing it full time ever since, which is lush.
Amazing.
I'm sure it feels very earned.
What was your first drag song? How did you christen the world with Cuckoo Couture?
Oh, it was, I used like a slow remix of Toxic and then it went into the normal chorus. It was interesting. My first number was like...
With the taste of your lips, I want to ride.
About 5 songs, all like mashed into one, but like they had no correlation to each other. They weren't related in any way, shape, or form. But I was like, I like these songs. I'm going to perform them one after the other.
Like you're like kind of like slinking down the runway and then like the beat hit and then you started doing splits and dancing or something.
Very much that. Yeah. The cut came off, the hair was split.
I love.
The camera zooms in on me.
So we get some high proof alcohol. We get gasoline. Anything that says
what makes our lives worth living is our mortality. If there were not mortality, we wouldn't be packed.
Luckily for me, most of the beauty pageants that I've participated in don't.
I've done my fair share of blood, man.
I've always liked showing myself off naked.
Got up out of the seat, walked to me, and then slapped me.
Spontaneous conversation with people from around the world on Stranger Than Christian. Available on your favorite podcast app and at strangerthanchristian.com.
So I'm so sorry. I sometimes get super confused. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Can we get like a whole story report? Because what happened on Drag Race UK?
Oh, yeah. A little recap for you?
Yeah. I don't know.
I could do that. I boiled it down.
Thank you.
Oi! We are Froopy and Fugly, and we're almost to the grand final with Drag Race UK Series 3.
Gloria Hall, Brown Eyewitness News. Last time, Vanity Milan lip-synced how only she could, and stunningly sent Scarlet Harlot home at last. Now it's down to the final four queens, only one of whom will be crowned the UK's second drag superstar in one calendar year. The challenge this week is an overacting challenge titled Bra Wars, a spoof of Little House on the Prairie. Just kidding, obviously it's Star Wars. Ever heard of her? Prior winner Kitty will decide the roles and debuts the Kitty Scott Claus talent agency to hold auditions. Michelle directs the very artistic short film and things are looking grim as the queens struggle, but it could be very possibly a bait and switch. We know they love to mislead. After an important conversation on consent and protecting drag artists as human beings, we're on to the main stage. RuPaul shows her version of a baked potato and the handsome Russell Tovey is here as guest judge. On the runway category is Scene Stealers, my newsworthy looks that stole the scene where Crystal Versace's Cruella de Vil and Ella Vidae's goddamn Oompa Loompa. As for the film, this is one I'll be glad is not a trilogy, but it was still some good, stupid fun. The sci-fi references were on shuffle, but everyone did a solid job with what they were given, my favorites being Crystal and Ella. The show took enough time getting to the point, so I'll just tell you, no one gets eliminated and it just stays a top four. Kitty and Ella are the top two queens of the challenge and lip sync for the win. It's a rousing show, and wouldn't you know it, they both win. Four queens continue to remain. I'm going to help Vanity throw out the rest of her orange clothes, and that's the whole story.
Oh, thank you.
That's what happened.
That was great.
Yeah. As black as I am, sometimes I get blonde, and that...
brings it all back, makes it fresh, yeah?
That took me back, thank you.
Good.
That being said, what the... Okay, So we've had a double save. We've had a double elimination. And now we have a double win.
Yeah. They're just doing all. And they don't care.
It's like Drag Race doesn't even work anymore.
It's just structured. They're just trying to make it different.
So I have a theory. I don't know how this is going to sit with everyone, but I think that when Crystal first joined the cast, they were like, this is our winner. And then they got to know her. They got to know her like on the scene, behind the scenes. And they were like, oh my God, we cannot trust our empire to this child. So they were like, well, now we have to find a way to prop up every other queen besides Crystal, which is what they've done for the past couple weeks. They've uplifted Vanity Milan as the lip sync assassin. They have given Kitty Starclaws a win. They've said that Elle of a Day is now the most talented person ever after ignoring her for like half the season.
Right.
And basically, they're trying to just show the world that like, no. We're so sorry. Like, Crystal is not the winner. Like, anyone else besides Crystal. Do you get what I mean?
I do see it. That's clocked on.
It is so funny because they're trying so hard to not let Crystal win. Anyone else can win. Like giving, because I don't know if production even knows if like Ella or Kitty have won. But like hearing Graham Norton say, who I've met by the way, love him. Hearing him say, I'm so sorry that I was ignoring Kitty Starclaws until this episode. I was like, talk about a lie that you were fed.
Just
because it's like basically everyone's like, if you've been sleeping on Kitty Starclaws, now's the time to wake up because Crystal's not winning.
Yeah.
It's certainly made it a lot more even, I think.
But that's what I mean. They're giving everyone a win. Crystal's been riding on two wins in a row for the whole season.
Right.
She has not won a single challenge since.
Yeah, only since then been saved, for sure. So I don't know. But I guess I don't see her winning. I do think it's between Ella and Kitty.
Right? I think the lip sync that happened this week was to legitimize the wins. Because basically they're like, oh, you're going to lip sync for the win? I was like, this is the lip sync for the crown. Mm-hmm. This week was the unofficial lip sync for the crown. They had Ella versus Kitty, and they were like, who's better? Because whoever won the lip sync, even if they didn't announce a winner, someone won. And that was Rue being like, okay, which one of you is going to get the crown?
Right.
Because I need to like see your skills.
Yeah. And they're both super solid. So
I think it's Kitty, though.
I don't think it should have necessarily been a double win.
No.
But they both did well.
I agree.
It was a solid lip sync, but I don't think enough for a double win. But that's just my opinion.
I agree. It didn't feel totally legit.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, the show is just sure, you know.
None of the lip syncs have been, like, the results have not matched the content.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
So like, okay, so here's the thing. So yes, Kitty won, but I think there were two approaches to the lip sync. So Ella was like, I'm a sexy, hot drag queen that's like going to like give you splits and like blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, make you want to like have sex with me. And then Kitty was like, I'm a campy drag queen. And like, this is my drag. And I do think that when you're resting on sexy, it doesn't always work.
Yeah. True. I think last week we saw Crystal know that she needed to diversify her, what she's bringing to it, because she did that, like, I think taking a page from Charity look for that fugly swimwear when she looked real ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was at least trying, you know, and she did that big, like huge cope for the third category. So I think she's trying to change it up a little bit. But at the same time, even though she's like built for drag, I don't see her as well-rounded as the next superstar.
Can we stop saying that?
I'm mockingly quoting it from RuPaul because I think that's such a crazy compliment.
I rarely swear on this podcast, but like, that she's built for drag. Who the fuck is this?
No. At 19, I'm just blown away up.
One is not built for drag. So Crystal Versace is not going to win Drag Race. It's probably going to be either Ella or
Kitty Starclaws. Yeah, I see a lot of well-roundedness in them. And I think drag is about entertainment, and they are very good entertainers. They're hilarious. They're funny.
You think that drag is about entertainment?
Yeah. Well, some queens don't behave as though it is, do they?
Coco, do you think that drag is about entertainment?
I would say so, yes. Do you think it falls under the entertainment sector?
If I may continue with my point.
Of course, of course.
It was that drag artists should be well-rounded entertainers. Crystal is mostly looks and sexy. The other two are looks and sexy and also hilarious and funny and great lip syncers. So I see it way more from them as just what I look for in who could be literally the winner. It's not just serving looks. I mean, look, the judges even got bored of her just serving looks by episode 3. When Graham said, like, yeah, you look great, but I'm not impressed by that anymore.
Yeah, there needs to be that little bit more.
Yeah, I think I that mean, just shows, like, she's 19, so she's got that part down, but she's not as robust an entertainer as the other two.
I think what's good, though, is that it seems like she's definitely learning, like, applying stuff as she's going along. It's that it would be so easy for her to just, like, hear all of those, like, critiques and just apply them like once she leaves, but she's actually doing while she's there, which is kind of nice to watch as well, because it's like a little, like, it's still a little bit of a growth arc, like,
you can see some. I'm loving her growth arc, which I think is a lot more inspiring and cool and interesting, but Vanity, I think, has gotten the growth arc more so, which has surprised me.
Yeah.
Vanity's been slaying. I mean,
she has been, and she has been growing, but she's behaving to me kind of like a villain. So that's why I was surprised that she was getting the growth edit, because she was starting from a much lower place than Crystal, I think, polish wise.
Yeah.
So to see Crystal grow in a different way we've never seen before, perhaps.
I don't understand this villain edit. It's more interesting. Vanity, because
she says a lot of really mean things.
I know.
But has bottomed the most. So queens are always having to correct her whenever she makes a rude comment.
Look,
that's inaccurate. Like telling Ella this week, like, "Oh, you think you're gonna get it with two wins or with a win with a badge?" And she says, "Two badges, no bottoms." Okay. Who's bottomed 3 times? And okay, it's like, Vanity, why'd you even say anything?
We've seen this before from a colored queen. Abby, oh my God, and Tace were always in the bottom. They always survived and they always gave us talent. So
that's true. Clearly, and Vanity served that best lip sync of the season.
I mean, scandalous. Oh my God.
Best lip sync of the season by
Absolutely.
Far.
That lip sync was scandalous.
It's funny because, like, as the times I've complained about her or like her lack of polish, look, when she brings it, and it's gotten her this far. That's not for nothing. So I acknowledge that.
I also have to say that seeing her sit in that chain outfit, like in the right after at the beginning of the episode, I was like, Vanity has never looked this gorgeous. She looked so petite and so lovely. And that outfit was what she should have been wearing the whole time. She should never wear orange again. I don't care what Michelle says, because Michelle was like, "Oh, it looks so good against your skin." That was literally someone in her ear being like, "Prop up Vanity, prop up Vanity, prop up Vanity."
Yeah.
Because the next episode, she's like, "Oh, you're wearing orange again. I'm bored." I was like, Michelle, stop telling this poor innocent drag queen that she looks good in a color, because she's going to keep wearing it. And then you're going to, and then you're going to not like it like that one time.
I mean, you do make a point.
Unless it's a velvet peach gown.
Oh my God. I mean, I think everyone should just wear that for the final episode. Just that look, 4 times down the wrong line.
Oh my God, terrible. Okay, so who do you think will take the crown?
I think it's going to be Kit Scott Pauls.
Me too, right? Have you worked with any of them?
Yeah, so I do brunches with Kitty occasionally, which is fun. But yeah, I think she's just consistently good. Like, I don't think there's ever been a week where I've been like, "Oh, that was a bit questionable." It's always been pretty solid, and she's been, I think, safe or just near the top the entire time. I don't think she's not been in the bottom three, has she? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I know it's not always track record, because we've seen the previous seasons. Sometimes it means nothing, but I do think her track record proves why she should win.
Yeah, I agree, and she and Ella are, I think, on pretty even footing right now, except that Kitty's personality is really great and a lot of fun, very inviting. She's made RuPaul laugh more. I think Kitty's personality really gives her an advantage over it, and I think she will win as well.
I also think that Kitty's a drag queen, whereas Ella is a musical theater performer who's doing drag.
I think she's a pro. I mean, I think she's, I love Ella Vidae. She does have, like, I mean, I understand the vibe of, like, the music theater queens, like Jan and Rosé. I think she's, like, in line with that kind of feel.
She's always doing, like, costume drag as opposed to, like, doing drag.
Yeah. She had several runways that were, like, music theater characters for sure.
When you think of, like, RuPaul's Drag Race superstar, whatever. You just want a drag queen that's going to show up and do something. Like, eventually Ella's going to run out of characters. So, like, what is she going to do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what sickening look is Ella going to wear?
Garfield.
Whereas Kitty, in that nude outfit, and then also the thing last week with, like, the almost, like, Poison Ivy situation. Like, if anything.
Oh, the cherries.
If anything, like, Kitty, like, just wasn't using her her corset correctly for the first couple episodes. And then now that she's got it working correctly, she looks sickening every single time.
Yeah, she's very strong. I love her. Aww. I feel kind of bad for Lawrence Chaney, though, because not even a full year of a reign.
Yeah, it's like the Vivian literally got like almost a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
I mean, it's all COVID's fault, of course, but
at
the same time, it's like, why then rush into UK season 3, I guess? I'm sure the fans of Drag Race across the world would have appreciated a little bit less high traffic all the time of episodes coming in.
I know. But I mean, honestly, like Drag Race season 2 is one of the...
So good.
It's almost like RuPaul's Drag Race season, whichever season Willem and everyone was on, like it just launched
four
superstars.
Yeah.
Between Lawrence, Tace, and Bibini.
Ahura, yeah.
And Ahura, like... legit superstars.
They've all done so well post-show.
Great cast, yeah.
But actually, I guess every UK season is full of superstars.
I do think the UK has a very high standard of drag. I love it. Obviously, I'm biased.
But now that I think about it, Bag of Chips was phenomenal. Didn't even need to win.
So funny.
But like was above and beyond. And then also Cheryl Hull.
Love Cheryl. Absolutely adore Cheryl.
It was so full of actual stars. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing for like season 2. And then now season 3, I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, some of these people don't even need to win. They can just like perform for the rest of their lives and like I'd show up. Mm-hmm. Like I would go and watch Ella and Kitty.
I would honestly watch all of them. Like I think, especially Teresa. I will watch Teresa every single day for the rest of my life.
The best.
This is why I don't think that Teresa... I mean, even though that the wig situation was terrible, I don't think that she should have left because she's so funny.
I would have really liked her a bit longer.
It was a double elimination with two queens who were narrating the season, fan favorites. Like they were strong contenders for themselves. They obviously just faltered within that episode.
Yeah. Right.
But once they were gone, it was like there was just this hole missing of
a gap.
Literally the void.
Yeah.
And then they kept all four of them. And I was like, but this isn't as interesting of a show anymore.
Totally. It's made it like I thought it was heading into the finale also. But no, there's still another episode after this before the finale. So that's like, why do this? There's no schedule reason why you'd have to eliminate two again. Like
they got rid of River Medway, Theresa May, and Scarlet Harlot.
Yeah. The narrators.
I was like, does anyone have a personality that's left besides Kitty Suckloss? Okay, Nick, do you have a whole story report for Canada?
I do. All right. So this will be a reminder or a little bit informative.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Well, hello, friends. Sorry, but did you catch the latest episode of that RuPaul show? Glory Hole Brown Eyewitness News. Last time, the girls snatched and gamed with the best celeb impersonations they could muster. Cynthia Kiss won, and Suki Doll was eliminated. On a new day, Tracy Melshore enters the workroom in the most sexual mid-length bob I've ever seen to introduce the Sex Education Mini-Challenge. Cynthia Kiss and Geometric win this round, and a bunch of hot, hot cash from Trojan, which I've always thought is a strange name for condoms because the surprise soldiers burst out unexpectedly. But anyway, the maxi-challenge this week is a girl group challenge with a country pop breakup song twist, and folks, this reporter's Kansas roots are tingling. Making small specific twists to challenges like this proves that Canada is not slowing down. Fate is cruel and the winners are split up to be team captains. Adriana is last picked and I ponder what psychological effect her bitter unrealness had. After recording verses with Biff Naked, it's onto the main stage. Brooklyn is giving Matilda's mom and it's time for the show. The giddy girls are up first and the looks are cohesive, Lee bad. The only things country were their hats and the chorus, so I wasn't thrilled, but the best verses were from Geometric and Isis Cooter.
Next is the do-si-hos, which the show spelled wrong. The looks are excellent, especially Eve 6000's neon Dolly and Kendall Jenner's Woody from Toy Story. The verses are an improvement with the best from Eve and Cynthia and an abomination from Kendall. On the runway category is Monochromatica, Pop Idols of the Future. My newsworthy looks were from Adriana, Geometric, and Kimora Amore. Apparently the budget increases, so does the gaslighting, as the Giddy Girls are the winning team. Geometric is given a You're Safe fake out, but the winning queen is hers. The do-si-hos are critiqued and the queens untuck. Eve 6000 is once again in the bottom, as is Cynthia Kiss. What a roller coaster. How it wasn't Kendall Jenner is beyond me. The queens lip sync to Biff's song I Love Myself Today, since Cynthia turns it as Eve 6000 is eliminated. Seven queens remain. I'm going to write a song about the men who done me wrong, and that's the whole story.
You're gonna write a song about the men who've done you wrong.
Mm-hmm. So this, yeah, that was a long recap, but a lot kind of happened.
I don't think we need to like go like super into Canada's Drag Race, but what I will say is that so Coco, I don't know if you know, but so there's a friend group on this Drag Race. What are they called? I can't remember. Anyway, so they're all from, I don't know where they're from. They're from like some city, and they like all had like a drag show together. And they basically cast three friends on this Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, love that.
Yeah. On this specific episode, like they were Geometric. I think it's Gia, Kendall, and Cynthia. Mm-hmm. It seemed at the beginning of the season that they were trying to like find other queens to like lift up. But now it's just been the three of them owning everything. Like every single episode, mm-hmm. like one of them has won. Everyone's won besides Kendall. Because now Gia's won. Cynthia's won, mm-hmm. and then Kendall's the only one without a win.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
It was crazy that she was safe today.
What do you mean?
That felt like goopery.
Do you think that Gia actually did better?
I think Kendall's verse was the worst verse of all the verses.
Oh, you think she should have been the bottom?
Yeah.
So you're in favor of Black queens, like, not being on Drag Race?
No. Don't know when I said that. But because she's Black, does that mean like she should stay if like she does poorly in a challenge?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm kidding. No, obviously her, like literally.
It felt like narrative to me.
I think Brad Gursky said it the best, or someone said it like really well. They were like, I hated the verse, but looking at her perform was amazing.
Yeah, what is that? What does that mean? I hate that.
Basically, like, she's a good performer. The content was terrible.
Mm, yeah.
Just giving very Roxy Andrews in stars.
Yes. Giving like 100% Roxy Andrews. And I'm saying,
it was hard to find verses I liked.
Find you a judge that's going to say that about a white queen.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. At no point did they say, oh, this white queen looked great doing her verse, but like the verse was trash. No, they were like, no. Kendall looked like a star, but the content was terrible. Mm-hmm. And I was like, then she shouldn't write her own stuff. Everyone needs to know their talent. Kendall, I don't know. I don't know why she isn't like rising above.
Yeah, I know. I've been a little sad to see. I mean, she was one of the ones I was most excited about in the start of the season. But also like, to my surprise of not being in the bottom was also that they didn't like her runway. So I was just surprised at their decision.
Okay, I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to let everyone know that I do believe that this runway, the best thing on the runway was actually Eve 6000's look.
Yeah, it was not bad at all.
It was one of the best.
I liked it a lot.
On the runway.
Yeah.
Problem. It was Eve 6000.
Yeah, they're like done liking her. Yeah. But I think that's maybe why they didn't put Kendall in the bottom, because they needed to make sure Eve was going to get sent home.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so they paired her with somebody who like they were sure would send her home.
Coco, I don't know if you know, but Eve 6000 has the worst attitude that we've seen on Drag Race since.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been, it's she's such a negative Nancy.
Very much so. And when other girls try to comfort her, she's like, don't therapize me. I don't need your help right now. I'm just venting. Like, I don't, she bites their heads off. And I don't think she's going to get Miss Congeniality.
Is she the one that did that in the musical?
She was the reveal queen.
Check up that one.
Yeah.
Ah, I know the one. Yes.
Yeah. And similar with her verse in the country pop group song today, she just delivered it very, like, her verse writing was good, but the way she recorded it in her voice and everything was very low energy. It was just very much like, these are my words and this is what I'm singing. It sounded very bland.
Yeah. Which is sad because, like, I mean, she clearly has good taste because the last two runways have been good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't even want to come for her drag. I just think it's like, I want to come for her energy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And they did. And now she's gone.
We came for the energy. We didn't find it. So she went home. But she could have gone. She could have gone before. People, they've sent other people home that could have stayed that were way more entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. I liked Suki Doll more.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
We could still have that Asian sensation. Aww. I mean, literally in like the comments for, I was like, because her name is like Eve 6000. I was like, Eve 6000 has 6000 problems and no one cares. Who do you think is going to take the crown?
Pythia, still.
Really?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's either Pythia or Gia.
I think it's geometric.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a it's a meteoric rise.
I didn't love Gia at first, but she's doing great.
No, but between the Snatch Game and this episode, mm-hmm. I'm like, geometric is like showing some things.
Yeah.
The problem with geometric is she doesn't have style. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's a skinny queen. So, like, she can sell outfits.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have style. And Pythia has style. So I think if Pythia can pull out one more, like, good runway,
mm-hmm.
there's possibility.
And I think she will.
So, Coco, if you were to be on Drag Race, what character would you do for Snatch Game?
So I have a few options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking potentially Nicole Scherzinger.
Great.
Okay. You would do such a good Nicole.
Because
she's tan. And then, like, you're very slim, so I can see it right now.
Maybe Tiffany Pollard.
Oh man!
So yeah,
oh,
Tiffany Pollard's one of the options.
Oh, please! Oh my god! Yes! Oh my god!
She does need redeeming after Naomi Smalls's attempt at her.
Yeah,
because that was bad.
Oh my god!
And then potentially, like, I don't know if you guys know who this is, but there's this TV host in the UK called Alison Hammond, and she's just crazy, and she's got the loudest laugh.
Okay, not familiar.
Oh, she's great. If you just look up, like, Alison Hammond best bits, I, like, get drunk, eat pizza, and watch that just on repeat. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's amazing. I think you two should definitely look her up because she's an icon. She recently, like, interviewed Lady Gaga and stuff. Oh,
wow.
She's great.
Oh my god, she's so gorgeous. Oh my god, she's probably Jamaican.
I think she is.
Oh my god. She has the biggest smile. She is Black excellence. You know, I mean, like, literally, I'm just looking at her. I'm just like, oh my god, I now understand what you mean. Like, just look at the best bits, because, like, anything that she does is great.
Oh, she was on, like, one of the original seasons of Big Brother, and she was, like, trying to see over the fences. She broke the table. She always falls over. Like, she's just amazing. Everything about her.
Do you know what's so funny? I actually think that British people do reality better than American people.
I'm not going to lie, I was that statement.
You know what I mean? Like, they're, like, actual characters are on British reality. Whereas, like, we'll have, like, basic biddies in American reality, and it's like, they don't really matter. But, like, British people, like, one season from reality could launch a whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Gemma Collins, Amy Child. Mark from TOWIE.
Yeah.
Like, legit personalities. Like, and also, like, Love Island. Oh my god. Like,
I shouldn't, but, like, I can't help but watch it. Because it's so trashy, and the people on there are so just like...
Oh, well yeah. Take your posh accent and just like...
Oh, don't get me wrong, I watch every single episode. I love it. It's trashy as...
Oh my god, because it's all the accents that England has been trying to hide. Literally,
oh my god.
On a TV show. But the problem is they're so sexy that you're like, you want to keep watching them.
I know. Like, they're all so attractive, but then they all have, like, two shared brain cells. And they just...
And they're like, I'm like, why is this the hardest thing for you to do, to be faithful to one person? They're like, no. I can only hook up with the hottest person in the room. And, like, that's all I, like, they're resting on pretty their whole lives.
I love it because they're all so dramatic as well.
Like, oh my god.
It's nothing's like just settled easily.
Yeah.
It has to be a whole blowout argument. Someone's crying, someone's chain smoking in the corner, like.
And they're all chain smokers. I'm like, who still smokes? I don't know.
That'd be me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like everyone smokes, but like they literally are like they're all like aggressively smoking.
And that's the thing, they can't show it anymore. It's like a rule or something. They can't have smoking being shown on TV anymore. So all of those bits, when they go into like the smoking areas, yeah. They have to be like separated from each other so they don't say anything to like... But they used to show smoking. The smoking areas like on the show. But now it's like, oh no, don't show the youth of today that. They're like, really? Don't do that anymore. But the smoking areas where the best arguments happened.
Yeah, because they get pissed. They go get a ciggy and then we go down.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Coco, we could talk to you all day, but unfortunately, no one wants to listen to an hour-long podcast. But please come back. We're obsessed. We don't deserve you, but we're lucky that we had you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
We do believe in the consensual, fervent, impassioned, and dedicated stalking of all of our guests. So where can people find you, stalk you, lift you up online?
You can find me on Instagram at Coco Couture Queen. On Twitter, it's at Coco Couture UK because it's too many letters. and on TikTok, it's Coco Couture Queen. And I think, yeah, you can find me on all of them. Right. I post nice looks. Sometimes it's me being an absolute tip.
We love to see it.
No, but you are talent. You are special. You are amazing. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you.
I always like to like leave with like a poignant moment, but I think the moral of today is just, you know what? UK's Drag Race, figure out when you want to have the end of the season because we're all confused.
Yeah. I'm worried they're going to start bringing queens back and it's just going to go in reverse.
I mean, at this point, like, that's what they're doing. Like, there's no...
Or next episode, Art Simone's going to come out.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's right. I'm a UK citizen now.
That being said, we love you, world. Get vaccinated.
Yeah, or else.
Do all the good things. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Free Spring Disease is not enforced by all women, VH1, ICOM, Great Canada, and your official premium. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We Drag Race and Canada Drag Race and all made pictures on the registered trademark and or copyright, their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.